Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to American Muslim 360 Evening Edition. Tonight we have lined up for you for our first hour, Al Islam in View, with myself, Rashad Abdulrahman. For the next hour, we have Life Enrichment Radio, hosted by Imam Wazir Ali. And for the third and last hour of this evening, we have Implementing the Quran with Imam Khalifa Ramadan. So we would like to thank you all for joining us this evening, and we hope that you all will get much out of the programming that has been prepared. So we will begin in 1 minute with Al Islam in View after a quick message.
Well, it's income tax time again. Do you want an easy and affordable way to get your taxes done? Take the guesswork out of what to file and how to file? Just go to hhfasttax.com, hhfasttax.com, and file your taxes online with the assurance that you will receive the maximum refund for the minimum price. That's hhfasttax.com. And as being good stewards of our community, HH Fast Tax is donating 25% to AM360 and WDM Community Center. So help yourself while you're helping others. hhfasttax.com.
And we are back, and we would like to again welcome you to Al Islam in View on American 360, and we always begin with extending our greetings to the listeners and our radio audience. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. And we begin with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and we ask for the prayers and peace to be upon God's noble servant and messenger, Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him. This week, we are really going to continue, not on the same topic, but in the same vein or in the same focus of where we left off last week. Last week, our discussion was regarding the concept of servant and the role of the Muslim in the world. Muslim life is not a local life. It's not a life that is to be localized or lived in a small corner of the world. Islamic life is universal life. And what God invites us to in our holy book, the Quran, as well as in the life of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, what God is inviting us to is what he wants for all human beings. Our religion is said to be after the millah of Ibrahim, or Abraham, the upright. And millah means, it is translated sometimes as religion, but that's not entirely correct, especially for an English translation. Millah, as taught to us by Imam Muhammad, has meaning for reference to hope, to destiny, the direction that Abraham wanted for man to go. And God says that he was made the imam, the leader. Imam is leader and teacher. Abraham was made the imam for all people, all mankind. Or God was saying he is going to make him, he's making him the leader for all people. So our religion wants us to have focus on the universal life, the human life. And we know that science deals with universals. If we want to know medicine, physiology, the science of the human body, we don't restrict it to a particular racial group when we study the human body. The human body is one universal type, though there are variations, there are differences, but there are differences in every aspect of creation. But there's a general picture of what the human form is. The same is true for the human soul. And the Quran is guidance for the human life, the human soul. So we want to continue, as I said, in the same vein. But this week, our topic is the concept of Khalifa. And this term is very popular in discussion, Islamic discussions, Muslim discussion. Books have been written on that one term or that one concept, Khalifa. And before we go into it or to begin that discussion, I want to bring this to our attention. It is important for us to recognize that we are living in very new times, very new and different circumstances for human beings on this planet Earth. If we look at the advances in science, the advances in technology, medicine, our world is so much different than the world that existed 100, 150 years ago, let alone worlds that existed or the world as it existed 1,000 years ago. We're in very new times. When we look at the economic scene, we see that nations are operating not as separate systems, but as interdependent, interconnected systems. The economic world is operating as one. And consequently, the political worlds have to gradually come to operate as one. So we are in a new time for human beings. Economics, technology, advances in knowledge has brought about a new time for man on this planet Earth. And this is the time that both scriptures, Quran and the Bible, point to. In fact, Imam Muhammad, he said it like this. He said, we are living in the time that the prophets were pointing us to or moving us towards. Very new time. And in this day that we live in, unlike or more so than any other time in the history of man's life on this planet Earth, it requires more of us as individuals. We have more freedom. We have more opportunity. Consequently, we also have more responsibility. We have more chance to express what God wants for all human beings to have expressed. So this time requires for us to be more educated. It requires of us to be more responsible. It requires of us to become even more sensitive and aware of the global environment, not just our local environment, our small home environment, but to be aware of the whole globe and all of the happenings, as well as the great advances happening for man's life on this planet. We have to be aware of that. So this is a time of personal responsibility, personal obligation, personal duty. We still have a collective focus. We're global citizens now. So the globe, due to the fact that we exist on the globe, makes us have to have a community collective focus. But to be a citizen requires that we also have an independent mind, an independent initiative. And independent doesn't mean the freedom to just disagree, the freedom to just break off and not conform. Independent means that you're trusted with your own human ability and potential to make the best decisions, to make the best of choices, etc. So as believers in God, not just Muslims, Christians, for Jews, for members of other religious faith, religious traditions or faith traditions, we have to take a new look at the message of our religion, the message of our holy books, the message of our holy teachers, whoever they may be. For us as Muslims, it's Muhammad the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, firstly. Then the learned in the religion. For us in this experience that I'm speaking from, it's Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have to look at our best sources of knowledge and look at them in light of this very new world in which we exist in. When we look to what is called or known as classical Islamic religious tradition, if we were to be objective, and if we could separate ourselves from the emotional, and emotional in this term is not negative, emotional attachment to what has been termed or known as Islamic, we have to say that very little of it has use in our world today. Perhaps in terms of ethics, in terms of the basics of human behavior, perhaps there is some application. But in terms of the philosophy, the outlook, the worldview, the world in which that thinking, those ideas were developed were too small. That world was too small to fit us today. So we have to have a new look. The only thing that we know is timeless is God's word. God's word never changes, and man will never succeed or surpass what God has revealed, what God has given to his servants and messengers. That never loses its relevancy. But man's understanding is always evolving and growing. So with that, we have to look at this concept, Khalifa. This word, this term, is really how God identifies man in the Quran, even before he calls him Adam. He calls him Adam after or in the context of him teaching him. But before he taught him, he announced this creation to the angels. He said, I am forming in the earth a Khalifa. And that word or this word comes from a word that means behind, in the back. And also, depending upon the form of that word, it means successor, to succeed someone, to come behind or come after someone. So, for instance, in our masjid, one man occupies the office of imam. And imam means to go out in front, by the way. Khalifa means to come from behind or to be in the behind. One man occupies an office, and he has his time. In that office, we would say tenure. Perhaps that's not the best term for religion. And when he steps down, or when he is no longer in that office, someone comes behind him as the successor. And the successor, his work or his responsibility is to continue, build upon, and advance the progress that was made by that first one or that previous one. And the one that was before him was supposed to be, or ideally speaking, advancing upon whatever was achieved after whoever was before him. So that's the basic meaning or the basic context of for meaning for this word. But just as it's true for one person or persons coming one after another, the same is true with generations of persons or people, generations, whole generations of people, the same is true. One generation will precede the previous generation. And that new generation that comes behind those that were before them, they are to build upon and advance and make better what was achieved before. So what does this tell us in the general broad sense? Because Adam is the one that God is identifying using this language. But we know that's not our discussion now. We know that Adam is a singular body, as well as a plural body in scriptural knowledge or scriptural language. It's this language, Khalifa, what is it telling us? All of us are born out of that first person, that first man. And if we trace our lifeline back, generation after generation after generation, we will eventually come to that first person, that first human being. So we are all the offspring, the descendants of that first man. Now, my child has the genetic information, the genetic line or life that I have. What I have in me is deposited in him. And I have in me, my genetic line comes from my parents, my father, my mother. And if you trace that line back, you reach all the way to the first man. So Imam Muhammad, he taught us that this term Khalifa is bringing to our attention that the whole of man's lifeline never leaves man. It is always with man. It is always in man. It is passed on all the way back to Adam. And every new child that is born as a creation of God from the womb of mother is a carrier of that same life. And not only that first life, whatever has been added, whatever has been built upon that life since the first man. Now, we are called children of Adam in Quran. So why is this important for our focus here? Because God tells us, he revealed to our prophet Muhammad, and we read in Quran about Adam, the first man. But what are we to take from that if we know that we have the same life as that first man? We're to understand that whatever God is revealing or talking or speaking about in regards to the first man, because we inherit his life, he's speaking about it in reference to us. So whatever he is addressing as a matter of importance for Adam's life is to tell us what's of importance for our life as human beings. So we are not to look at these stories as just reports in a historical perspective. In those narrations are guidance for our life currently as we exist in the world today. We have the same life as the first man. We have the same nature. That's what we mean. And as a consequence, we have the same destiny. Whatever God created him for, that's what we are created for. We are a continuation of that same stream. So, let's go back to the language. God says, surely I am making. And the term uses ja'ilun, ja'il, meaning making, establishing. I'm situating this creation to be this ruler, responsible ruler. And the word Ja'il itself, now first understand, as we've been taught, that God doesn't say, let us make man. God says, surely I am forming in the earth. Because the Quran is correcting language or mistakes in the language that's in previous scripture. And the mistakes are not just in the language of the previous scripture. Out of that language, entire systems of theology are formed and perspectives are formed. So they have had debates in history about who is this let us? Who is God speaking to when he says let us? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it the angels? Is there an order of God that he's speaking to? They've actually believed this. And don't think that that thinking is still not with us. There are men on this earth, perhaps women too, till this day that still see themselves in the roles of gods with the job of forming man in the image that he wants in him. So God is correcting language. God is correcting perception. I am evolving. Ja'il, meaning, the word means that when God was speaking to the angels, what he was drawing their attention to was not a finished product. The human being, God says, I'm forming in the earth, meaning that I am in the process of bringing about this Khalifa. So that creation that he presented to the angels was not complete. That's why they contended or they protested, saying, will you create any one that creates mischief and sheds blood, etc.? Because they saw that creation as it was in its crude form. But the form wasn't complete. So God responded and said, wait until I breathe into him something of my own ruh, my spirit. Then you fall down and make obeisance to him. So that's to tell us that our human life, our human form, our human creation is not complete. It's not where it is supposed to be, where God wants it to be, until we have the Spirit of God in us. And spirit is influence, and spirit is also direction. If we don't have the direction for our life that God wants it to have, if we don't have the direction for our thinking, the direction for our behavior, the direction for our planning as a community of people, that God, if we don't have that in us that God wants for us, we're not true to life, human beings. We're not in our true human form. So we were not, what God presented to the angels was not yet complete. And God does not leave us to wonder, to guess about what his spirit is. He identifies our holy book itself as a spirit from God, really connecting with what was said in the previous scriptures or the previous revelations in the Old Testament. The prophets of the Old Testament were said, it was said of them that the Spirit of God came to them, and then they began to speak and to preach to their people the message. So we don't see God's Spirit as something beyond rational grasp, something that we can't grasp rationally. Now, perhaps we cannot contain it completely with our rational mind, but there is a rational presentation of the Spirit of God in our holy book. And Jesus Christ has said in this same connection to be a spirit and word from God. And we know that words carry influence. When I speak, as I'm speaking right now, breath is coming from my mouth. And the same is true if I were to write these words down and someone was to read them. Even though it's not actual wind as a message, as a metaphor, when they read those words, the message is being communicated to that mind or to that heart. So the spirit is carried by the word. So what does all of this tell us? Khalifa, God is showing to the angels his work that he is bringing about. So this role, Khalifa, is a destiny. It's an end that man is to come into. If we inherit it and we build upon it and we advance it further. So these two terms really go together. Ja'il, the word that means making, the process of making, Khalifa, the generations advancing and continuing this role, this work. But there's also one more meaning to bring out in this discussion or for this line of discussion, for that term Khalifa. It also means responsible ruler. Authority under God. So this is really informing us what we inherit, what is passed down, what we inherit, and what we must advance. We are advancing our work in the earth or in the world under God. So we are workers for God. We are servants of God. And that office or that role advances. And God shows us the first station or situation for that worker to be in the Garden of Paradise. And we know according to the Quran that that garden is the whole creation itself, the skies and the earth. In the language of science, we would say the universe. But if we know that that world is, that that role is evolving, man, see, Khalifa is the role. The garden is the environment in which that role is lived out. So if we know that that role is evolving, we have to ask, where does it begin? Where is its origin? God tells man, when he puts him in that situation or that circumstance, iskun, anta, wa zawjuka al-janna. Iskun, dwell, comes from a word that means peace, tranquility, security. Dwell, you and your wife in the garden. And in another part of the Quran, God says that he created man from one soul. And from that one soul, he brought forth his mate. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهَا or إِلَيْهَا, I'm sorry, in order that he find tranquility, in order that he find peace with her. So this is telling us, giving us the hint or the connection to show us, where does paradise have its origin? Where does the garden have its beginning? Not somewhere that human imagination can't reach, can't grasp, can't deal with. God is telling us that man had paradise beginning in the home, in his home environment. And I recall, I think it was the first Sunday after concluding a Ramadan session. And the topic of that first Sunday was the Garden of Paradise. And in that first Sunday, addressing that topic, Imam Muhammad spoke on family and keeping the home life intact. I see a caller on the line that I'm going to address for a quick second. Area code 813, please state your name and where you're calling from. Area code 813.
This is better be the Al from Step to Florida.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Bilal.
Alhamdulillah. There's something I had heard earlier about Khalifa, dealing with the fact that really Umar, he was known, no, Abu Bakr was the first one known as Khalifa. And then Umar, the people kind of like gave him the name of Khalifa, but it was something like he was just a servant of the person who was in charge. He never really just took upon that name. You know, it's just a name that one had, and the people began to say, "Oh, yeah, that's a Khalifa."
Yeah.
But somewhere in the history, you probably will find out that it's not a word per se that you carry around like we carry around you know, the word imam or the word you know, treasurer, president.
It's, yeah,
that's the word. Yeah, you know, it's a word that was given at a certain time, and I can say was given to Abu Bakr.
Yes, I want to address that point for and I'm going to address it as a student of Imam Muhammad. They're different ideas of time. And you will find in the language of a lot of Muslims from other countries addressing it in political terms, like you're saying, beginning with the Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. The evidence says that some of them didn't call themselves Khalifa. They called themselves Amir al-Mu'minun, the commander of the faithful. And Imam Muhammad said he accepts that language because God tells us in the Quran that to obey those ulul amr, the first in command from among you. So that language is acceptable, Amir, or commander of the faithful. But the language Khalifa did come into play. And he said that he believed that it was designed by those who brought that language out to create something that would be presented before the eyes of the people and had the same effect or magnetism or weight in the eyes of the people that the prophet himself, his office, had. In other words, they had to present something that would command the same amount of loyalty and respect and regard from the people, the community of people, that the prophet himself had. So they developed that language. And that was a mistake. So the Muslims are of the belief that everything that was done by the companions of the prophet, you'll hear this, they didn't make mistakes. They were companions. That's incorrect. They did not have the wisdom, at least not at that point. They were still growing like we're still growing. They were human beings, and they made major mistakes. And a major mistake is to identify the leaders as Khalifa. When God identifies or gives us that language, in Quran, everyone is called Khalifa. And he also said in that same discussion, the proof that that's a mistake is that look how all of them, with the exception of one, passed away. All of them were killed violently, with the exception of Abu Bakr, because they were already, whether, I don't know about the first one, but whenever that language came into vogue, so to speak, they were already taking something away that the prophet established for the people, that God established for the people, really. So that was a big mistake, a big error. So Khalifa, like you said, is not just a title that we walk around with. We shouldn't walk around with. Like we say, well, I am Imam Rashad. I am Imam Bilal. No, we don't do that. We don't say I'm Khalifa Bilal, you know, or Khalifa Rashad. We shouldn't do that. We should understand it as a role, as a identity for the work that God wants us to be. Brother Bilal, are you still there?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Well, you know, the information that came out from Brother Thomas earlier this morning, so I just wanted to, you know, reiterate it to the brothers and sisters who are listening.
What came out from Brother Thomas?
Because he had mentioned the word, and he got off into it and explained it by Khalifa. This morning, so I wanted to. For the evening, brothers and sisters here on the evening, they can get that in the head too.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Brother Bilal.
Oh, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. So we are going to, right now we're going to break. I see our time, and it's time for us to take a quick commercial break. But before we do, I want to bring us back, at least situate us where we were. We were talking about man's role, that's Khalifa, and how that role evolves, progresses, and we also identify where man begins, where does his paradise, his garden begin. And we're going to continue from that point when we return after these commercials.
We should encourage the establishment of community structures, material structures. We should be strong leaders out front, lending our assistance, our moral assistance, contributing to the good morale of the business community.
This is David K. Hassan, president of the National Muslim Business Council. This year, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Business Conference Expo. Our theme is living the balanced life through economic development. Our conference will be held May 3rd through May 5th, 2013, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of Fort Bragg. A special feature this year, including lectures about Omar Ibn Said, visit to the historic sites, and much more. Visit our website, www.nationalmbc.org, for more information, or call us at 704-201-1353. We're looking forward to see you at this historic event. Thank you.
The annual Southwest Sectional Conference is quickly approaching Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We encourage all to make plans to be a part of this dynamic weekend of workshops featuring imams from across the region, including Imam Thakmiel Lukta, Omar Shakir, and Abdullah Rashid. The conference will also feature a Quranic symposium highlighted by a powerful selection of religious leaders, including Imam Kazim Ahmed, Yahya Abdullah, Sister Salwa Abdullah, Imam Wazir Ali, and many, many more. But that's not all. Preacher Moss of Allah Made Me Funny will headline our culture night, and we will have a singles event for all those looking to fulfill the other half of their deen. So register now at www.swsmajlis.org or go Google our Facebook page, 2013 Southwest Sectional Conference. Again, register today at www.swsmajlis for this amazing weekend in Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
And welcome back to El Islam in View here on American Muslim 360. And we would also like to remind you, after this program, we have Life Enrichment Radio, hosted by Imam Wazir Ali, as well as for our third hour, we also have Implementing the Quran with Imam Khalifa Ramadan. So we invite you to stay online and continue to benefit from the excellent programming that we have here on American Muslim 360. And we also would like to remind you all to continue to spread the word about American Muslim 360 and encourage participation and listeners to help keep excellent Islamic radio programming online. So we're going to continue with our discussion and try to be we might not have enough time to get through all of what we have, but if not, as we all will, inshallah, we will continue. But I also have to do this. I have to always invite persons who have a question or comment to feel free to press 1 on your dial, and I will be more than happy to bring you into the host's queue. Be it a question, a comment, whatever. We always benefit from contribution from others. I was reading gathering of imams, a brother, one of the imams, asked a question. And Imam Muhammad, he made the point that this is why it's important to have shura, open discussion, because God may bless one of the members with the guidance or the help that all of us will need. We don't know where God will put it. So it's always a great benefit to have engagement with other minds. So with that said, let us continue. So God tells the man, iskum, dwell, have security, have tranquility. And that term means a lot for understanding man's life. And he says in another part of Quran that he made for man his mate so that he find tranquility with her. So paradise begins in our environment that we all start off in, the home. And according to a very popular tradition of our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he is reported to have said that paradise lies at the foot of mother, or of the mother. So what lies at the foot of mother? Children. The life that comes out of her womb. So the home environment is the sacred, precious environment that we begin in. It is where all of our sacred connections begin. It's paradise. And the child that is born, God says, we bring you forth from the wombs of your mothers not knowing a thing, in ignorance. The life, man's life in its nativity is in ignorance. He doesn't know anything. So the child is not responsible for itself. It's under the authority of its parents, mainly the mother. But what are they, or what is she intending for that child as she's raising that child? Her intention is to situate that child to be responsible for itself, to be able to manage on its own, not to always be dependent upon her or upon the house, the father, but to be independent. So God gives us the whole reality, the whole universe to be the leader over, the whole universe to be the responsible authority over. But it begins with being responsible or the leader over our own reality, over our own self.
And the mother, in the home environment, and under the authority of the mother, that's where it begins. And the woman is the authority for the home environment. And what is the major thing that mothers encourage? More than anything, moral development, decency. The mother's the one saying, don't do that. Sit up straight. Don't chew with your mouth open, et cetera. Warning or encouraging the child to be the best, to be excellent. And whatever we have as ethical system, as systems of morality and human development, et cetera, they begin in the home. This is why God says, family is first in the book of God. The mother, the parents, want the child to grow up and be responsible for his own life. So eventually, if he's a boy, if he's a man, he grows into manhood, he's going to take a wife, they're going to have children, he's going to have to manage a home. So this is his role as Khalifa beginning. He has to be in charge of his own self, because if he can't manage his own self, he will not be able to hold together a family life. So after he grows in his ability, he has to manage his own self, he has to manage a home. So again, God says family is first in the book of God. Why is that so important? God wants for us to look at all of our advances, all of our great progress, all of our excellent, noteworthy achievements as people of civilization and society and culture, etc., and identify or orientate, have the correct orientation in respect of those wonderful achievements that we have. Our orientation should be toward the original life that we came from, the home life, the family life. Because when we lose connection or lose touch with that sacred life, the family life, and everything that goes along with it, we lose all of the excellent achievement. We lose what we built up. We lose our progress. This is what is affecting the public of America right now. The most scientifically advanced country on this planet, nation on this planet Earth, the United States of America. The most advanced in terms of technology and science and education, et cetera, the United States of America. The richest, or one of the richest, because, you know, actually the statistics are changing. But that's what we're addressing. That's what I'm getting at. It's America. America's still on top. But what is causing the decay of America? Is it that jobs are going overseas? No, it's the moral life. So God is giving us powerful help when he tells us to have sacred respect for family life. Have sacred respect for the wombs that bore you, as it's translated. Have sacred respect for God. So when we look at our public, we don't see a public that's reverencing God, that in the people there's behavior that shows or displays that they're aware of a God watching over them. We don't see in the behavior of the people, in the culture, in the public, that they are aware that family life is sacred. What's promoted and what's acted out is sex for sex, sex for pleasure's sake. Not for children, not for family, not to increase the bonds between husband and wife so that the family life is stronger, more beautiful, etc. So without that, the life decays. So God wants us to know that we are to have sacred respect. This is how we began. Man began as a family. Man began addressing the needs and concerns of family. Hence, God says to us, men are the maintainers. Men are the protectors of women. Imam Muhammad said, really, it's better the standing men, the men who are standing up, established, situated to handle responsibility. Those are the ones that maintain and protect women. And we know with women come the responsibility of children, come the responsibility of homes. So the standing men are the ones who are responsible for the home life. That's the role of the original man or the first man. And as the home life grows, In the Bible, the families become tribes, the tribes become nations, and those nations occupy entire pieces of geography on the map. Man evolves, man grows. So man, he begins fishing for three people. In time, he has to fish for 300 or 3,000. In our public, we have over 300 million. So as the family grows and evolves to embrace more than just that home, neighbors connect with neighbors to become a neighborhood. Neighborhoods connect with neighborhoods to become towns. Towns connect with towns to become territories, a nation, small nations. This is how it happens. Human life, community life grows. So first he was just responsible for that small situation or that small environment. But now the woman that he had to maintain and protect becomes community life. And now his role as leader under God grows, extends. But the life that comes out of his events is not always a paradise. His home was a paradise. But the new social environment that offers or presents all of these new challenges to him are not always paradise. They don't always give his soul paradise, happiness, comfort, ease, security. The home will be a paradise, but the outside world will be a hell, like it is today in our world. Many of us, we come home to our wives, our children, our husbands, our families. We have peace. We have comfort. We love, etc. But when we go out in the world, it's that love and peace, so on and so forth, is violated by the hell that we see. But the man, he wants to protect his children from that. And he wants to get with other men and other families that don't want the burdensome life. The life becomes burdensome. That's what I'm saying. So because of that, man wants to now make the external environment be in conformity with his home environment, be in conformity with what his soul wants. His soul wants peace. That's why God tells the man, find tranquility. God doesn't command something of man that's not already in man's nature. God is telling us when he told the man, find tranquility, find this peace. He's saying that your soul was created to find tranquility, to find this peace. Again, as we said last week, the command for the creation is in the creation. So man is following the natural movement inscribed in his own reality, his own creation. This is what is naturally bringing him to. This is why God says man comes out of the earth like a plant. He's developing out of the earth, feeding from the environment, and responding to what is coming into him from the environment. So all of these new complexities and situations that he encounters are just an outgrowth of his own creation and his own form. Man was meant to run into hell in the outside world. Why? Because those challenges, those pressures, will strengthen him. God says we made man in toil and struggle. And those who have skills, music skills, martial arts skills, any skill, they know that they have developed their skills based upon struggle, based upon interacting their muscles, mental muscles, physical muscles, consistently wrestling with that particular subject or project, whatever it is. That's how the same is true for the human soul. So God says in the Quran, with difficulty comes the ease. And with difficulty comes the ease. Verily, with difficulty comes the ease. But when you have finished one job, go right away to the next job. So God created man to engage in struggle. This is how we develop. This is how we evolve. So man runs into these problems. He comes into these challenges. And now he uses his human heart, his human intelligence to strain for answers, to strain for help, to strain for understanding. And he calls out for higher authority. This is history. This is not something that's not inside of the Quran. This is the Quran. It's not just talk or guesswork. This is history. This is what's in scripture. Man strains for understanding. Man strains for help for his circumstance. And that activity is what gives the world philosophers, seers, and eventually prophets. That's why we say Muhammad is our prophet. The prophetic nature is in all of us. And the circumstances that are in man's history bring it out, or they brought it out. Those that stuck to their good human nature and struggled with their human heart and with their good human intelligence, God revealed to them and guided them to help man go where he created him to go. And we know the big proof for us is not just with our just not with our prophet, but he's the big proof for us. He fits that description perfectly, but he's not the only one. But we know his life more than any other prophet, at least from the sources that are given. So he was of the same situation, struggling, a man who was over his family, over his business, his wife's business, but he's troubled by the world that doesn't respect his own good nature. So he searches for help. And as Imam Muhammad said, he looks to the supernatural. What's in nature doesn't really do it anymore. He has to go to the supernatural. And mind you, this activity still continues. When you look to the leaders of our people in the history of slavery, Sojourner Truth is a prime example. They went to the supernatural to find answers, to find help, and God reveals to them. So we have the two mercies in our religion, the first mercy and the second mercy. The second mercy really comes to reconcile us with the first mercy. The second mercy is the help for the intellect, the help for the intelligence to carry man's life where God wants it to go. So this is the movement of the role of Khalifa. That's what we're still addressing. So when we look at the ascension of our prophet, because I'm going to speed up, inshallah, to wrap this subject up. When we look at the ascension of our prophet Muhammad, it represents more than just individual persons. It represents the expressions of what is in our soul, beginning from the first soul, Adam. And each level is an unfolding or continuation or build-up of what was in that first soul, Adam. And it is said that the prophet led all of those prophets in prayer. So don't, when you see the history, when you see that ascension, think of Khalifa. Think of this role being inherited, passed down, and finding more expression in the world. And then know that Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, God situated it so he would be the one to lead them in prayer. And what gives us the place to lead the prayer? What gives us the office? What establishes us? What puts us in the office to lead the prayer? Quran. No one leads the prayer with anything else other than Quran. So what is that to tell us? The prophet leading the prophets. It tells us that the Quran is what situates us to have the world that those prophets were trying to advance us into. The Quran situates us to fulfill the role of Khalifa. So when God says, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi Khalifa," beginning with Adam, where is that role complete? Where is the work of forming or making that leader responsible and complete? It's completed in Muhammad the Prophet. But the Muhammad the Prophet is a mercy for all the world. He is a model for any who believe in God in the last day. So the prophetic line is just a picture of God's plan. And that plan was expressed in these figures. But that plan is to eventually be lived out by all human beings on the planet Earth. So when you look at this world, as we said in the beginning, of great advance, etc., freedom for people, etc., this is a world that is just now coming into what the prophets were all about, especially Muhammad the prophet, because he reconciled all of the prophets before him, and he projects into the future. This world is just now coming into it. And it's the Quran that situates us to be in that office and keep that office and hold that office and live that office as God wants for that office to be lived. So when we look at our holy book, we should not just look at it as a book of faith, a book of do's and don'ts. We should see it as a book revealing to us our life as God formed our life originally, how God has evolved our life through time, and what God wants for our life in the future. Where does God want our life to be? Where does he want it to end? What is our life for? This is where we should be when we're reading Quran. So as I said in the beginning, what was achieved by the great thinkers among the Muslims is of great merit. It deserves our respect, but it does not deserve our stupidity. We have to understand our holy book and what God revealed in light of these very new circumstances for man on this planet Earth. New knowledge has come out. New discoveries have come about. So we can't be satisfied with a medieval or ancient mind in these new times. We will not survive. Just like those buildings, those ancient buildings are dust decaying and drying away, and any special help from modern science to stay intact. The same is true with ancient ideas, pictures of the universe, pictures of man, etc. Let's continue. So we're talking about Muhammad the prophet fulfilling this role, Khalifa, man being responsible for himself under God. Now, the African-American people, more than any other group in the history of people on this planet, we were cut out of that life. Slavery history and what followed from slavery history cut us out from that life, cut us off from human existence. And we struggled after slavery. We struggled for equal treatment. We struggled to prove our worth as human beings competing alongside other human beings. But if you look at our situation now, today, we cannot seem to establish ourselves in any credible degree. As individuals, yes. But as a group, why? Because as a group, we have become disconnected from our lifeline. Most of our homes, in our homes, Dr. King is not taught to the children who he was, what he was about. Booker T. Washington is not taught on, and passed down to the children, Frederick Douglass, et cetera. And most of us, too many of us, expect for the public education system to pass that knowledge on to our children. That's ridiculous. Do you think the Jews require the public school system to pass on their precious history to their children? No, they don't even want, intelligent people wouldn't even want that to happen. So we have left off the connection with our history. I'm going to continue this, inshallah, next week. I looked up and I see my time, and I have to close up because we have, for the next hour, Life Enrichment Radio with Imam Wazir Ali. And I hope that you all will stay online and continue to benefit from excellent programming here on American Muslim 360. And following Imam Wazir Ali, we have Implementing the Quran with Imam Khalifa Ramadan. So I greet you all with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Before I go, Imam Wazir? Is Imam Wazir on the line?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for listening to American Muslim 360 Radio, Blog Talk Radio, America's premier Blog Talk Network. You are listening to Life Enrichment Radio, where you get information to enrich your life. This is the February 25th installment of Life Enrichment Radio, 5 weekends from the Southwest Sectional Conference and Quranic Symposium. This week we're going to continue our discussion on youth leadership. And the comments that Imam Muhammad, rahimullah alayh, may Allah send mercy on him, that he made to the Young Adult Conference, and at this time it was 10 years ago, in 1999. It is extremely important that, one, we remember our history. As we sit here this evening, coming to the end of African American History Month, or Black History Month, it is important that we remember those who came before us and paved the way for us to have our success. Brothers and sisters, if you think about it, and if we have an honest discussion, or an intellectually honest discussion, we all will recognize and we all will understand that it was Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad that brought most of us, the vast majority of us, to see the Quran and life example of Muhammad the Prophet, and the proper understanding of the Quran. As we move on this evening, inshallah, we want to just look at that and remember that not only Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, but also the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and a host of others fought for us to have the freedoms that we have today and the freedoms that we enjoy. It was Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad who, in the 70s, when people who did not have insight into the future, who could not see down the road with the proper perception, didn't understand the approach that Americans should take to Islam, and didn't understand the approach that Muslims should take to America. On the other side of the break, we will pick this conversation up, inshallah. Thank you for listening to Life Enrichment Radio, where you come to get information to enrich your life.
Well, it's income tax time again. Do you want an easy and affordable way to get your taxes done? Take the guesswork out of what to file and how to file? Just go to hhfasttax.com, hhfasttax.com, and file your taxes online with the assurance that you will receive the maximum refund for the minimum price. That's hhfasttax.com. And as being good stewards of our community, HH Fast Tax is donating 25% to AM360 and WDM Community Center. So help yourself while you're helping others. HHFastTax.com.
The annual Southwest Sectional Conference is quickly approaching Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We encourage all to make plans to be a part of this dynamic weekend of workshops featuring imams from across the region, including Imam Fahmiel Lukta, Omar Shakir, and Abdullah Rashid. The conference will also feature a Quranic symposium highlighted by a powerful selection of religious leaders, including Imam Kazim Ahmed, Yahya Abdullah, Sister Salwa Abdullah, Imam Wazir Ali, and many, many more. But that's not all. Preacher Moss of Allah Made Me Funny will headline our culture night, and we will have a singles event for all those looking to fulfill the other half of their deen. So register now at www.swsmajlis.org or go Google our Facebook page, 2013 Southwest Sectional Conference. Again, register today at www.swsmajlis for this amazing weekend in Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to Life Enrichment Radio, where you come to get information to enrich your life, inshallah. You are listening to America's premier blog talk radio network, American Muslim 360, a unique voice and unique vehicle to bring you unique perspectives that is valuable for our understanding, application, and practice of Islam in the United States of America. You just heard the ad for the Southwest Sectional Conference and Quranic Symposium. On the Friday, April 5th of the Southwest Sectional Conference, we have an unprecedented Day of Unity in Houston, Texas, called the Day of Unity 2013 Houston. And what this is it's an unprecedented Day of Unity in conjunction with the Southwest Sectional Conference and the Quranic Symposium. The Day of Unity will feature over 30 dynamic speakers, some of our top imams, teachers, and scholars from around the country, delivering the Jummah khutbah at over 30 local masajid. The topic for Jummah is unity in the community, and the foundation for the Jummah khutbah will be Surah 3, Ayat 103, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنقَذَكُم مِّنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is, and hold tight to the rope of Allah and don't separate yourselves. It will be about unity. The following imams are confirmed participants. Imam Salim Mu'min, Detroit. Imam Yahya Abdullah, DeSoto, Texas. Imam Omar Shahid, Carolina. Imam Sadiq Jihad, Detroit, Michigan. Imam Siraj Wahaj, New York. Imam Vernon Farid, Virginia. Imam A.K. Hassan, California. Imam Hatim Hamidullah, Florida. Imam Khalil Akbar, South Carolina. Imam Khalid Salahuddin, Florida. Sheikh Ibrahim Pasha, Georgia. Dr. Nasser Ahmed, Florida. Imam Earl Elamine, Massachusetts. Imam Qasim Ahmed, Florida. Imam Fahmi Sabri, Louisiana. Imam Shadid Abdul Hakim, Texas. Imam Oliver Muhammad. Imam Arif Abdullah, Oklahoma. Imam Jihad Safir, California. Imam Wazir Ali, Texas. Imam Tyree Elamine, Texas. Imam Abdullah Rashid, Texas. Imam Qasim Khan, Texas. Imam Omar Shahid, Carolina. Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin, Carolina. Imam Suleiman Hamid, Texas. Sheikh Darnell Kareem, Illinois. Imam Amin Omar. Imam Mujahid Ramadan. Imam Abu Qadir Elamin, and others, inshallah. So we have a very, very enlightening and powerful weekend lined up for us, for you. You can go to Facebook.com, Day of Unity 2013 Houston, for more information. And inshallah, we will have more information available as the days go along. So back to our discussion. And before we go into the main discussion for tonight. Let's remember, since this ayat, وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, since that is going to be the main topic or the main ayah that's going to be used for this Quranic symposium and the Day of Unity in Houston. Let's look at this ayah just a little bit. وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, it comes from this ayah, وَعَتَسِمُ, عَتَسِمُ comes from the word عَسَمَ. And عَسَمَ means to cling to something. And وَعَتَسِمُ, it comes in what's called the eighth form of the Arabic verb. And what's interesting about the eighth form of the Arabic verb is that the eighth form of the Arabic verb is move something from outside to the inside. It moves something from outside to the inside. So the clinging tight to the rope of Allah and do not separate yourself, this is something that's not happening on the outside. This is something that's happening on the inside. So you're clinging to the rope of God in your soul. And many interpret the rope of God to be the Quran. So you're clinging to it. And in clinging to the rope of Allah, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, you do not separate yourself. Meaning that you don't allow outside forces to come in to your community. You don't allow outside forces to come into your situation and cause you to separate among yourself. Because وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And see, once you say وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, hold tight to the rope of Allah, then you say جَمِيعًا. جَمِيعًا indicates that this is something that everyone has to cling to. This is something that everyone has to hold on to, indicating to you and I that our success in being unified is completely dependent on how much we cling to the Quran, how much we hold on to the Quran. Because in the atmosphere of division, in the atmosphere of jealousy, envy, backbiting, gossiping, undermining, and the seeds of hatred that Satan tries to sow in between a man and his fellow human being and his brother, the only thing that can protect your heart from being affected by these things is the Quran itself. So, وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, you all have to hold on it together. And you have to imagine that you're in a tug of war. You know, and in a tug of war, you have a certain number of people on one side and a certain number of people on the other side. Okay, and everybody has to pull their hardest during the tug of war so that their side can be successful. And if everybody doesn't pull their hardest, if you have one person that is lackadaisical, or if you have one person that is being lazy, it's going to affect the possibilities for success for the whole team, right? So, وَعَتَسِمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, hold tight to the rope of Allah all together, okay? Meaning that, listen, we are in a struggle. We're in a struggle for our community. We're in a struggle for our moral life. And we have to be, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him, said. He said, "The believers support one another," and the tradition says he put his hands together and showed how your hands interlink. If you put your hands together and they interlink, and you clutch your hands around each other, this is a picture of how the believers support one another. This is a picture of how the believers have to be together with the purpose and goal, with one purpose and one goal, one aim and one direction, and that is to support the best possibilities for human life and to work on creating an environment in which each and every one of us have the freedom and opportunity to pursue the God-given potential that Allah has put inside of us that we can be the best people who we can possibly be. But we're together in this. The community, we are one community. And we have one leader, Imam Wadhafuddin Muhammad, who has set the vision for us, and we have to keep to that vision. And I remember Imam Muhammad saying that some say, Imam, we thank you for bringing us to the Quran and the Sunnah. And Imam said, is that all I did? He said, you had others before me claiming they had the Quran. You had others before me claiming they had the Sunnah. He said, but I came out with tools that no one else had, and I came out with a vision that no one else had to get you to the Quran and the Sunnah. Right? So, yes, if you know our history, you know, there was a big weekend last weekend, Savior's Day, and you know our history was not one that we had the proper perspective of the Quran, and our history was not one that we had a proper perspective of the life example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was not what we had appreciation for. We had appreciation for something different. But Allah, in His wisdom, He sent Imam Wadhafuddin Muhammad, and He brought us to the proper understanding of the Quran and proper understanding of the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, and the tools that He gave us uniquely position us to be a voice of reason and clear expression and clear understanding for the practice of Islam in the United States of America and in the world, and more people are recognizing that, and more people are responding to that. وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. So we all have to hold tight to the principles of the Quran. So then Allah says, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا and فَرَّقَ, if I say فَرَّقَ, that means He separated. If I say فَرَّقَ, it means someone from outside came in and caused you to separate. If I say تَفَرَّقُوا, it is in the fifth form of the Arabic verb, and the fifth form of the Arabic verb indicates that you did what was necessary to separate yourselves. Now, I want you to be honest and look at our communities all around the country. By the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His guidance and his ni'mah, His favor, all four of the masjid in Houston who associate with the leadership of Imam Wadhafuddin Muhammad, we work very closely together, and we work in partnership with one another. And we don't have major issues with division. Not that people tried to sow seeds of division. People did try to sow seeds of division. But we had to work against that division that people were trying to sow seeds of. And two of the masjids that opened up when I was in Houston, you know, Masjid Wadhafuddin Muhammad was already open. It's the first masjid in Houston, purchased with a donation from Muhammad Ali and Imam Wadhafuddin Muhammad. And destroyed by Hurricane Ike in 2008 and rebuilt and renamed as the first masjid built from the ground up to be named after Imam Wadhafuddin Muhammad since he passed away. That masjid originally opened up in 1970, and the current location was 1978. Then in the 80s, Masjid Ta'lim Muhammad opened up on the other side of town. And from what Imam Basil told me, that was based on some instruction that Imam Muhammad gave him. And so that happened before I was here. But since I've been here, two additional masajid have been opened up. One was Masjid al-Quran, which by Allah's permission and mercy and guidance, I helped open up. And it did not open up in such a way that it was creating a conflict with the masjid, at that time Masjid al-Islam, but Masjid Wadhafuddin Muhammad, where I was also working as the imam at. We did it in such a way where one was not competing with the other, and each one supported each other as like a brother and sister community. And then Ibrahim Islamic Center, which was the most recent masjid opened up, Imam Khalif Rashad, that masjid was opened up with complete cooperation and support from Masjid Wadhafuddin Muhammad, and even some artwork and some of the materials that they used to remodeled the masjid, was donated by Masjid Wadat Ali Muhammad, and a large, I believe, all the carpeting for Ibrahim Islamic Center was donated by Masjid Wadat Ali Muhammad, and two of the assistant imams that were previously assistant imams at Masjid Wadat Ali Muhammad are now the associate imams at Ibrahim Islamic Center. And these, all four of these messages now work in complete unison with each other and complete partnership with each other. And since we're not fighting each other, since we're not working against each other, our collective resources come together and make each community stronger and make each community have more resources. And none of us are boycotting the other. We all work together for the progress of bringing a clear understanding of Islam to Houston, Texas. This is why Tesimu bihabdillahi jami'a wa la tafarruku. Hold tight to the rope of Allah and don't separate yourself. And the other thing in this, the other thing that is vitally important for us working together and not dividing among ourselves is checking the ego, checking and controlling the ego. The imams, by Allah's mercy and permission, at each of these messages are not egomaniacal. So you don't see ego becoming a problem and causing one masjid to put down another masjid or one masjid to try to hold another masjid back or another community back, fearing that one will outshow the other. No. It's all the same mission. It's all the same community. It's all the same goal. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't separate yourselves. What else are people trying to separate us from? People are, you know, Imam Muhammad gave a lot of instructions, and Imam Muhammad gave a lot of corrections. But Imam Muhammad was uniquely qualified to give those corrections and uniquely qualified to give those instructions. And Imam Muhammad, from how I understood him, from being a student of his my whole life, even when he would sometimes chastise and criticize people, he wasn't trying to chastise and criticize them to destroy them. He was chastising them and criticizing them to make them better people. He was chastising and criticizing them to make them realize things within their own selves that they may not have realized was present, right? So now you have, in my opinion, people who are picking up, who are picking up these criticisms and other things that Imam Muhammad did during his lifetime, and they're using them as if they are Imam Wadat Ali Muhammad when they don't have the same qualifications and they don't have the same position as Imam Muhammad had, right? So we have to be very careful not to allow people with bad intentions to cause us to separate and divide up and split up. We have to stay together and unify, because the mission is bigger than any one of us as individuals. One thing that I tell the community here in Houston and the young brothers that we're training and working with, that we all have to be prepared and prepare our communities that they're so strong, independent, and educated that any of us can leave, any of us can pass away, any of us can leave at any time, and the community be successful, because communities are not based, because the community should not be based on personality. The community should be based on principle. I want you to think back Think back at when Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away. Abu Bakr came and he was the leader for the community, selected by the community. And he didn't sit around asking, how can I outdo the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew he couldn't outdo the Prophet. He made whatever contribution he could make. He did the best that he could do to make whatever contribution he could make in his time. And we know Abu Bakr made a lot of contributions. He averted the community splitting up into several pieces because, you know, it was a lot of confusion. A lot of people were claiming to be prophets. Certain people were claiming, well, we're not going to follow the five pillars. We're not going to give zakat to the state anymore. All these things. So Abu Bakr did that. Plus Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, he's the one that is credited with having compiled the Quran in one location. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he passed away and Omar became the leader, if you remember, when Abu Bakr became the leader, Omar said, I can never lead a people when Abu Bakr is among them. Never can I lead a people when Abu Bakr is among them. And if you notice that Abu Bakr, that Omar, when he became the leader, he didn't sit around trying to outdo Abu Bakr. No, he focused on what was in front of him and what contribution he could make. And he made his contribution to the community. And we know that the community grew administratively and when it comes to infrastructure and state infrastructure and the construction of roads and public works, we know it grew more under Omar's 10 years than any previous time. Then Uthman ibn Affan, he didn't come and ask, well, how can I outdo Abu Bakr and how can I outdo Omar? He made his contribution. And it's the same thing in our communities. If we can see a mission and not personalities, then we all work hard during our time to make whatever contribution that we can make to the mission and then prepare for the future so that our future generations can have a better life and our future generations can see a better picture and they can see the vision, pick up the vision, and run with it. وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold tight to the rope of Allah and don't separate yourselves. This ayah is the foundation for the Day of Unity in Houston, Texas, in which 30 of the top students of Imam Waraduddin Muhammad from each generation, including Brother Rashad, who comes on right before me. Brother Rashad has been invited to Houston that weekend. He'll be participating in the Southwest Sectional Conference and Quranic Symposium. He'll be speaking at the dinner as one of the speakers on the Saturday night fundraising dinner. You know, Abdullah Rashid, he's from that younger generation also, you know. And then from the middle generation, we have a number of imams and speakers that weekend. And then from the parent generation, we have a number of imams. And then from the pioneer generation, we have a number of imams. All contributing as a community, as Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, as he left us. If you have any questions or comments, we're going to pick up on this discussion after a short break. You are listening to Life Enrichment Radio, where you come to get information to enrich your life on America's premier blog talk radio network, American Muslim 360, a priceless vehicle for getting our unique perspective out to the world, February 26, 2013. If you have a question or comment, press 1. We'll get you on the other side of the break. Assalamu alaikum.
The annual Southwest Sectional Conference is quickly approaching Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We encourage all to make plans to be a part of this dynamic weekend of workshops featuring imams from across the region, including Imam Fahmi El-Lukta, Omar Shakir, and Abdullah Rashid. The conference will also feature a Quranic symposium highlighted by a powerful selection of religious leaders, including Imam Kazim Ahmed, Yahya Abdullah, Sister Sawa Abdullah, Imam Wazir Ali, and many, many more. But that's not all. Preacher Moss of Allah Made Me Funny will headline our culture night, and we will have a singles event for all those looking to fulfill the other half of their deen. So register now at www.swsmajlis.org or go Google our Facebook page, 2013 Southwest Sectional Conference. Again, register today at www.swsmajlis for this amazing weekend in Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Look inside. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Inspire yourself with stories of amazing women. Inform yourself about pressing issues in our community. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Illuminate your mind with revealing articles. Ignite your senses with colorful art and pictures. Include yourself in the powerful conversation. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Subscribe today at www.azizamagazine.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Life Enrichment Radio, where you come to get information to enrich your life. This is the February 25th, 2013 installment. I am your host, Imam Wazir Ali. We are broadcasting live from the historic Masjid Warathuddin Muhammad in Houston, Texas. Very excited about the upcoming Day of Unity. You are listening to American Muslim 360 Blog Talk Radio, America's premier blog talk radio network. In the upcoming weeks, inshallah, we plan to have Imam Kazim Ahmed and others who are participating in the Southwest Sectional Conference and Quranic Symposium on as guests. So tune in for the next few weeks. The other thing that makes this particular evening so unprecedented, by Allah's permission and mercy, let's never forget that Allah is doing this. We are allowed to be part of the process. This is nothing that we're doing. This is nothing that we are orchestrating. Allah is orchestrating this unprecedented Day of Unity, and He's just allowing us to be part of the process. Now, of these 30 masjids, you have a number of masjids. You have a lot of different schools of thoughts that predominate in all these masjids, a lot of different schools of thoughts. You know, probably at least four or five different schools of thoughts that predominate in these masjids. And this will be the first time that a cross section of all the different masjids that are dominated by all these different schools of thought will be having a unified topic for Jummah. So it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's go back to verse 3 and 106. 3 and 103. And remember Allah's favor upon you when you were enemies. فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Then Allah tied your hearts from His mercy, and He made you brothers. You know, this particular ayah originally, when you look at the science called Asbab al-Nazul, which means the occasion of the revelation, this ayah was originally revealed to address those believers who were in Medina, from the two main clans of Medina who have been warring with each other for a number of years. And they invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in to be an arbiter. And he successfully helped them arbitrate their difficult division, and they became unified. And they had been at each other's necks for years. And as has been men and the condition of men, historically and presently, Satan seeks to sow seeds of discord and disunity. So inshallah, we'll move on and we'll pick up another topic, inshallah. We'll get back into the comments that Imam Muhammad was given to the young adults in 1999 to help them get the proper perspective and vision for the future. And to show you that he trusted men. As you know, we were talking about Allah being al-mu'min, or the one who trusts men. Not the believer, but truster. And to show you that he trusted man with the whole universe, he has permitted man to discover atomic power, atomic energy. And he can really destroy the earth if he wanted to. But God trusted him, didn't he? That shows you God trusted man. He said he have put into your service, reduced it to your service, made it reachable for you, and made it serviceable for you, made it a utility for you. You can reach it, and then you can employ it and make it work for you. He said everything that's in the sky and everything that's in on the earth has been subjected to the use of man. Now, this concept right here is so enlightening and so expansive for the mind that Allah is saying, whatever is in the sky and whatever is in the earth has been subjected for the use of man, meaning that whatever we discover that's on the earth, we can learn the principles of how to manipulate it. And once we learn the principles and the laws upon which it is based, we can use that for the progress and benefit for man and the improvement for man. If you remember, Imam Muhammad said we should be constantly looking to improve our lives, to improve our situation, to improve our comforts, to improve the condition for man. So if you understand that Allah has subjected everything in the heavens and the earth to your use, you may not get it in one generation. You may not get it in two generations. But, you know, if you keep working to understand and perceive something that's in the creation, if you keep working to understand the laws that govern things in the creation, eventually when Allah decides it's time to open that information up to you, since he has subjected it to your use, then Allah will open it up to you and help you understand it. Now, this is the beautiful thing about the collective knowledge of man. You know, some men worked their whole lives on one idea, and they did not come to conclude that idea. They did not come to the final conclusion. But those who came after them, they took the ideas that they left, they took the information that they left, and they improved upon it. They looked at the world again, and they began to do research based on the information that was left to those who came before them. And you find this in every community. You find this in the community of religion. You find this in the community of science, of the natural sciences. You find this in the community of the social sciences and psychology and sociology, where those who come later pick up the information and the progress for those who came before so that they can progress the life of man and that Adam can evolve and reach new heights. Because although each of us lives our life as individuals, each of us, we live our life as individuals, we also realize that we live our lives collectively. We also live our lives collectively in a collective whole, right? And that every progress that we make, that each and every one of us make, it contributes to the human condition. And we are now benefiting from the works that men did hundreds of years ago, and men hundreds of years from now will be benefiting from the work that we are doing now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, your coming and your going is like one soul. Your coming and your going is like one soul. So if you have a question or comment, remember to press 1 and put yourself in the host queue so I can acknowledge you. So when the Quran, the revelation of the Quran to Muhammad, to all people through Muhammad, we have the revelation of the Quran, this is Imam Muhammad, that invites us to engage the whole universe with our heart and intellect, to engage it as something that God invited us to take an interest for the good utility and good benefits of the human society upon this earth, because he needs nothing of it. Don't you know that's some great trust? Here, we can't trust each other with $5, sometimes with $5, and God has trusted human beings on this earth with the whole universe. And the proof, again, I say, that he trusted us with it, he gave man the power, the ability to use his brain and the means outside his own body. He gave him the means to destroy, maybe not the universe, but this earth. Yes, there's enough atomic weapons to destroy the earth. We know that. But the man is not destroying the earth. He's not destroying the earth. Imam Muhammad goes on. We wonder how we have been saved from a nuclear war. We've been saved by God, not man. The same God that trusted us has the control all the time. Just like we trust a little child, a little aggressive child. Some men, they're very proud of their aggressive son. He's a little evil Knievel, and he wants a motorbike, a motorcycle. You trust him. You get it for him. He breaks a leg every other week, but you still trust him. And you take him to the hospital every time he breaks a leg. And you watch him, and after a while, you tell him he can't have another motorcycle. You say, I have to save his life, because if I keep letting him go, he's going to kill himself. This is Imam Muhammad. Now, that's how God is with the whole humanity. He opens the way for us. He gives us these things. And if we become too dangerous with it, he takes control for our own protection. So this is God. Listen, see that Muhammad. Your future success as leaders who will inherit our responsibility that we now carry depends on you becoming true believers. Because the world of faint-hearted believers, believers who accept part but question the rest, go with so much but leave so much behind that God say carry with them, that God says carry with them, they're not going to have a place in the future. The future belongs to the devoted servants of God, always has been that way. But now time is so clear that this day of faith, this is a day of religion, the day of people who believe in God. Now, if you remember when Abraham was tried by Allah with certain commandments, and Allah told Abraham, I'm going to make you an imam to humanity. Abraham's first question was, and of my offspring? And Allah's answer to Abraham was very clear. Allah's answer to Abraham was, but my promise does not reach those who are not righteous. Brothers and sisters, as we move forward as a community and we make whatever commitments that we can make contributions that we can make, let's remember that first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be moral, wants us to be righteous. You know, right after this ayah, where it says, وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, right in this same line of ayah, Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That is, and let there arise out of you, let there be in you a community calling to all that is good. يَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, enjoining what is right. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and forbidding what is wrong. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, they are the ones who are successful. Right. So right after this ayah about not separating yourself, says with this unity that you get, there has to be a group that distinguishes itself. وَتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخِيرِ, let there be in you a community calling to all that is good. يَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, enjoining what is right. And Imam Muhammad Rahimullah Alayh, of this particular verse, when it says يَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, مَعْرُوفِ, يَأْمَرُونَ means commanding, from أَمْر, to command. But first, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ, let there be among you أُمَّةٌ, a community, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. يَدْعُونَ comes from دَعْوَة, and this means calling, إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. And خَيْر is what is known to be beneficial for the life of man. That's خَيْر. خَيْر, what has been shown over the span of time for life for man on the earth. What has been demonstrated to be known to be that which contributes to the uplifting of man's life. Imam Wazir Ali, I am your host. You are listening to Life Enrichment Radio, where you come to get information to enrich your life, inshallah. You are listening to us on America's premier blog talk radio network, American Muslim 360. We want to thank Brother Thomas Abdul Salam for all the work that he does and his crew over there at American Muslim 360, providing this vital, vital, vital vehicle for the expression of our lives. We're going to take one more break, and then we'll wrap our program up for this evening. I want to personally thank you for taking an hour of your most precious resource. That is your time, your one resource that's non-renewable, taking a whole hour out of your life on Monday night to spend with us on Life Enrichment Radio. It is a true honor to have you listening.
Greetings. This is Joanne from the Versatile Online Outerwear Store, yourchoiceofjackets.com. I invite you to visit our site to check out our growing selection of outerwear of all sizes, colors, and styles. We also offer coupons, free gifts, and low shipping. The better place to go online for outerwear, yourchoiceofjackets.com.
The annual Southwest Sectional Conference is quickly approaching Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We encourage all to make plans to be a part of this dynamic weekend of workshops featuring imams from across the region, including Imam Fahmi Al-Lukta, Omar Shakir, and Abdullah Rashid. The conference will also feature a Quranic symposium highlighted by a powerful selection of religious leaders, including Imam Kazim Ahmed, Yahya Abdullah, Sister Salwa Abdullah, Imam Wazir Ali, and many, many more. But that's not all. Preacher Moss of Allah Made Me Funny will headline our culture night, and we will have a singles event for all those looking to fulfill the other half of their deen. So register now at www.swsmajlis.org or go Google our Facebook page, 2013 Southwest Sectional Conference. Again, register today at www.swsmajlis for this amazing weekend
in Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Thank you for listening to Life Enrichment Radio, where you come to get information to enrich your life. My name is Wazir Ali. I'm your host. And as we go to conclude our program, I just want to put a quick note out to the guests that are listening about the Southwest Sectional Conference. You know, registration for singles, and registration includes all the workshops for the Quranic Symposium, all the workshops for the Southwest Sectional Conference, and a ticket to the dinner, the fundraising dinner. Registration is $50 for an individual. So $50 gets you admission to all the workshops. It gets you admission to the Quranic Symposium. It also gets you a dinner ticket. Now, the dinner tickets are first-come, first-served basis because there's only 300 seats at the dinner. And right now, 220 seats are accounted for. So there's only around 80 seats left. So if you do plan on coming to Southwest Sectional Conference, go online and register as soon as possible. The registration fee for couples is $75. So if you're a couple, you can register and attend for $75, and that will get each of you admission to all the workshops, including the Quranic Symposium and also the Southwest Sectional Conference, along with dinner tickets. But again, the quantities are limited, and I think we're down to around 80 tickets that are left. And I think we had 10 people register this weekend, and we're so that may even make a little bit less. I don't know. But so if you're going to come and you want to come to the fundraising dinner, which will feature dynamic speakers from around the country, do come. And at that speaker, and Brother Rashad, the imam, who has the program on before mine, he will also be speaking that weekend, and he's going to be one of the speakers at the dinner. Additionally, children under 17 are free, and there'll be activities for children under 17. Young children, there's babysitting available, and the babysitting will be available for a nominal fee for that day, for that weekend, inshallah. So we invite you again. So as we conclude our program for the evening, here's Imam Muhammad. And God says, he really asked the question, say, who has said to my worshipers or my devotee that these good things in the world is not for them? Now, if God asked the question, who had, that is plenty of proof to the reader that believes in God that somebody has said these good things are not for the worshipers of God. So Allah asked, who has said this? Right? And that's what they will tell you. I've been told, it was said to me, if you want business, go after business. If you want religion, go after religion. Telling me you can't have both. I've had them tell me that. That's what they told me. When I say they, I'm talking about big folks. If you want business, go after business. If you want religion, go after religion. Their idea is that if you are holy, you are serious about God, about this God business, then we don't want you in our business. What is this seriousness you got? You're performing and going about as though you have a sacred duty to do business, to make money, as well as say your prayers and all those other things. Now, we don't mind you doing this to be interested in money or be interested in religion, but doesn't carry that religion over into the money, then you are right with us. Brothers and sisters, when you study the life example of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he achieved a spiritual ascension and a material ascension and an intellectual ascension. Because he represented the completed human being and the perfection of the possibilities for man in his life. But if you remember, our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was once homeless. Now, understand this. If we weren't looking at this as religion, if we weren't looking at this in the realms of religion, the man that has influence over 20% of the world's population did not graduate from the universities of his time. He was not trained by the thinkers of his time. And he was once homeless. What a magnificent story that would make. For although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once homeless, you know he is now the most influential human being ever to live on the face of the earth, and still provides a model for life for billions, over 1 billion human beings across the face of the earth. And he was able to establish and experience an exalted intellectual growth, so much so that his thinking has shaped the thinking of great contributors to the development of thought and perception for the human being for the last 1,400 years, that his leadership and his guidance through the Quran has spawned and motivated thousands of thinkers in religion, but also has motivated great developments in economics, great developments in science, great developments in social science, and every other human aspiration. So back to what Imam Muhammad was saying. You can have your material establishment, you can have your material life, you can pursue the good things of this material life, and you can also have your religious life. You can pursue excellence in your religious life because they are not mutually exclusive, because Allah made the good things on this earth for his servants in this life, and they are exclusively for them in the life to come. We want to thank you for listening. We have 1 minute left. So if you have a quick question or a comment, press 1 to be acknowledged. I think that 716 is Imam Khalifa Ramadan. So I'm going to be turning the program over to him, inshallah. So if anyone else, we don't really have that much time, so we won't entertain any questions tonight. I'll take it straight into the program with Imam Khalifa Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Rahmatullah. How you doing, Rabbi Ma'am?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Enjoyed your program this evening, and we keep you in dua for an exceptional, progressive, and productive conference and symposium coming up soon, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Now, did you have a guest on tonight that will be calling from 773?
I do have a couple guests. One is from 773. Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's for you. Okay. May Allah bless you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Rahmatullah. We thank Brother Imam Wazir Ali for what an exceptional program this evening, as well as the program of Brother Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman out of Milwaukee, who also had a great program on building neighborhoods a brick at a time, starting in the soul and the family and the neighborhood and just building and building. I really appreciated both of those programs. Tonight we have some special guests on again. We have sisters from a couple of the founding sisters from the organization Muslim Women in Action, Muslim Women in Action. They're going to serve as panelists tonight on a topic of solutions to problems. We're also going to have a brother out of Wilmington, Delaware. His name is Abdul Hakim Abdullah. Abdul Hakim Abdullah. So we're going to be right back with you after a few promo commercials. And once we come back from the commercials, inshallah, we will go right into our program for this evening.
We should encourage the establishment of community structures, material structures. We should be strong leaders out front, lending our assistance, our moral assistance, contributing to the good morale of the business community.
This is David K. Hassan, President of the National Muslim Business Council. This year, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Business Conference Expo. Our theme is Living the Balanced Life Through Economic Development. Our conference will be held May 3rd through May 5th, 2013, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of Fort Bragg. A special feature this year, including lectures about Omar Ibn Said, visit to the historic sites, and much more. Visit our website, www.nationalmbc.org, for more information, or call us at 704-201-1353. We're looking forward to seeing you at this historic event. Thank you.
The annual Southwest Sectional Conference is quickly approaching Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We encourage all to make plans to be a part of this dynamic weekend of workshops featuring imams from across the region, including Imam Thakmi El-Lukta, Omar Shakir, and Abdullah Rashid. The conference will also feature a Quranic symposium highlighted by a powerful selection of religious leaders, including Imam Kazim Ahmed, Yahya Abdullah, Sister Salwa Abdullah, Imam Wazir Ali, and many, many more. But that's not all. Preacher Moss of Allah Made Me Funny will headline our culture night, and we will have a singles event for all those looking to fulfill the other half of their deen. So register now at www.swsmajlis.org or go Google our Facebook page, 2013 Southwest Sectional Conference. Again, register today at www.swsmajlis for this amazing weekend in Houston, Texas, April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Again, this is your brother Khalifa Ramadan with another installment of Implementing the Quran. And tonight, our topic in a panel format is going to be solutions to problems. And with the emphasis on solutions, solutions to problems. We're so happy to have three of our guests. Two from last week, and one that was one of the guest callers that called in. So we want to invite each of them to hit one of their phones. I see that Sister Amira is already in the host queue, waiting for Sister Dapripa to hit one on her phone, and also Brother Abdul Hakim Abdullah out of Wilmington, Delaware, to hit one on their phone. Alhamdulillah, we are all in the host queue now, and I'll be activating your mic just in a few minutes. I want to say a little bit about the format for tonight's program, and that format is this. I'm going to pose some questions, and then I'm going to give an ayah from the Quran for each of the questions. So I have a question, and I'll give an ayah from the Quran, and then I'll go to the next question, I'll give an ayah. I'll go to the third question and give an ayah, and the fourth question and give a few short ayahs. This shouldn't take any longer than 5 to 7 minutes. And then at that point, I'm going to open the line up initially to Sister Dapripa and Sister Amira, who are with the founders and leaders of Muslim Women in Action. And they're going to give a brief summary because we have more callers on than we had last week. So obviously there are people on this week that did not hear them last week. So they're going to give a brief summary of the organization, its history, its vision, its mission, some of its activities, and how to join and support them, et cetera. And then we're going to open it up to the panel, including our good brother out of Wilmington, Delaware, Brother Abdul Hakim Abdullah,
and we're going to open it up for them to comment on any one of these questions. I really believe that the work that the sisters are doing, as well as what the brothers doing, are examples of solutions to some of these problems that I'm going to raise in the next few minutes. So I pray, Allah, you be patient with us after I give them the first opportunity to respond to one or more of the questions that we pose, then inshallah, we will then open our phone lines up and allow those of you in the audience to not just give other examples of the problem, but to maybe share with us things you know, things you've done, things you recommend that we can implement to solve some of these problems that we have in the Ummah, that we have in our association, that is in the general society. So again, we're going to start with this first question. And this first question is, why do the strong, faithful Muslims sometimes experience hardships and calamities? Again, why do the strong, faithful Muslims sometimes experience hardships and calamities? And the verse we want, and there's many verses in the Quran that can address this, but for time, we tried to extract out one that we wanted to use for tonight. And this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 214. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannata? Or do you calculate that you will enter, and the you is plural you, that you all will enter the garden, the paradise? Walamma yatikum masalul ladina khalal min kablikum. And they're not come to you the likeness of what came to those who passed away from before you? So what came to those that passed away from before? This is being said to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers with him. Allah is telling him and through him us, that do you calculate that you're going to enter the paradise and then not come to you the like of those that passed away from before you? Then Allah says, Masathumul basa'u wad-dara'u wazuzilu. They were touched by hardship and calamity and shaking. Was zulzilu and shaking. In fact, I have to correct myself, they were touched by the hardship, not a hardship, but the hardship and the calamity. So they experienced serious hardship and serious calamity. Was zulzilu and shaking. One of the surahs in the Quran is named after this, Surah 99. Hatta yakula rasulu walladina amanu mahu. Until the messenger and those who had faith with him said, Matta Nasrullahi, when will come the help that is owned by Allah? Allah inna Nasrullahi Karibun. Is it not that surely the help that is owned by Allah, Karibun, is a very near thing? If we were reciting, we'd just say Karib, but just to give the grammar, Karibun, a very near thing. So for the faithful ones with the Prophet, help is a very near thing. The second question I want to pose in a corresponding ayah, what is the responsibility of the faithful to support each other? What is the responsibility of the faithful to support each other? Again, a part of the help of Allah, He helps us through our righteous associations. So again, what is the responsibility of the faithful to support each other? You may notice I use the word faithful more so than believer. I know when the translation says believer, but English is a very tricky language. If you write believer out, B-E-L-I-E-V-E-R, you can break it down into three words, be, lie, and ever, believer. So I just don't like seeing that hidden message in something so powerful, so I use faithful rather than believer because you look at it, be, lie, ever. And we definitely don't want everlasting lie to be with our position of faith that we have in this religion. So that's why I don't typically use it. Alhamdulillah. Now we want to go to the next ayah, and this is ayah 71 in Surah 9 in response to the question, what is the responsibility of the faithful to support each other? Surah 9, Ayah 71. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal mu'minuna wal mu'minatu. The faithful men and the faithful women. Baddahum awliya'ul baddin. Some of them are protecting friends of others of them. Yamuruna bil marufi. They command, from Amara, they command bil marufi with the best known high standards. Wa yanhauna anil munkari. And they prohibit from that which there is no al munkari, no acquainted standards for it. Nakara means unknown, no acquaintance to it. Wa yuqimuna salata. And they collectively establish the salat. Collective salat. A collective responsibility was to establish the salat in our house, in the masjid, in Islamic centers. Wa yutuna zakata. And they collectively pay the zakat. Now, how can you collectively pay the zakat? I thought, brother, the zakat was just 2.5 of my personal income. Yes, it is. But you pay it to a centralized authority, to the masjid. And in the Quran, in Surah 9, Ayah 60, it gives us the 8 categories of who the zakat can go to. So consequently, if it's not getting to the right people just because you gave it to someone, if there's not transparency for you to see where it goes to make sure it gets to those 8 categories, then you haven't paid it. Alhamdulillah. Wa yuti'una laha wa rasulahu. And those who obey Allah and His Messenger. Ula'ika sayarhamuhumullahu. These soon will Allah give mercy to them. Inna Allah azizun hakimun. Surely Allah is an almighty one and a most wise one. So we see the responsibility of the faithful is to support each other as allies and to collectively enjoin and command that which is of the best known standard and to collectively prohibit that which there is no historical standard for and to collectively establish the prayer and to collectively pay the zakat, make sure it gets to the right people, and collectively obey Allah and His Messenger, and these have will soon have mercy. Sayarhamuhumullahu. The scene of soonest. Soon will Allah's mercy be on them. He'll grant mercy on them, and surely Allah is an almighty one and all wise one. Now, we know sometimes things break down in the Ummah, in the congregation, in a particular masjid, in an Islamic center, in the Ummah as a whole. And we start having fights. We have arguments. We have differences. So what is the responsibility of the faithful Muslims to resolve problems among other faithful Muslims? We want to go to Surah 49, Ayah 9. Remember, this topic is solutions to problems. And we're giving the solutions Allah has given, but we also want to hear how some of you all have implemented strategies in the community to address these problems and maybe other problems. 49:9. This is Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49, Ayah 9. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa in ta'ifatani min al-mu'minina iqtatalu. And if two sections from among the faithful iqtatalu fall into fighting, it could be physical fighting, but also just fighting in terms of ideas and concepts, and there's a lot of emotion and harshness and rudeness, et cetera. So they're in a real fight. A fight is not always just a physical fight, although it can be that. So Allah says if two from among the faithful fall into fighting, what's the responsibility of the rest of us? فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Then make reconciliation بَيْنَهُمَا between the two of them. فَإِنْ But ihdahuma al ukra. Then, if one of the two of them aggresses against the other, fakatilulati tabgi. Then you all fight against the one who was aggressive. Hatta tafi ilal amri lahi. until it returns to the command of Allah. Fa in fa at, then if it returns, fa aslihu baynahuma, then make reconciliation between the two of them. How? Bil adli, with equity. Give equity to the one who was aggressed against, but don't overstep the boundaries and treat the one who started it unfairly. If they stop, give them equity too. Allah says, wa aqsitu, and with justice. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitina, surely Allah loves the ones who are just. And so we want to expand on this theme of what Allah loves by reading from four ayahs in Surah 61, verses 1 through 4. So how does Allah love to see the faithful Muslims? Surah 61, ayah 1 through 4, starting with ayah 1. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ardi wa huwa al-azizul hakim. An intensely glorified, intense glorification is to and owned by Allah of what is in the heavens, the skies, and what is in the earth. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Ya yuhaladina amanu, O ye who are those who have faith, lima taquluna ma la taf'aluna. Why do you say, collectively, plural, why do you say, ma la taf'aluna, what you are not doing? So Allah is charging the faithful with this. Why do you say what you're not doing? You say you believe in Allah in the last day, but you get clinging to this world like you don't believe it's going to be a last day. You say you the pilgrimage is a part of your faith, but you don't save money to make the pilgrimage. You say you're going to make the five congregational prayers, but you don't hardly make them in congregation. And we could go on and on with a lot of things we say that we don't do. Ya yuhaladina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'aluna. Oh, ye who are those who have faith, why do you say what you are not doing? Allah says, kabura maqtan indallahi. Kabura, we say Allahu Akbar. You hear Akbar in kabura, kabura. It's big, it's a big maqtan. It's a big, some translations say hate, but I looked this word up. It actually means it stinks. It's a big odor. It's a big odor. It's a big stink in the lahi, in the presence of Allah. Antakulu ma la taf'aluna, that you say what you are not doing. Inna Allaha yuhibbul ladina yuqatiluna fi sabilihi. Surely Allah loves those who yuqatiluna, who fight fi sabilihi, in His way. It don't mean fight against somebody, fight in His way. Yeah, you're fighting in His way. We're fighting to establish His way. So we're struggling, we're fighting to establish His way. We don't fight somebody else unless they get in the way of that. They stay out of our way, they won't have any problem with us. How does He want us to do this? Safan, in ranks. Ka'annahum, like they were, bunyanun marsusun, as structures marsusun, bonded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what He loves. He loves those who fight in His way in ranks, as just like they were structures that were bonded. And we've got to get out of our ethnic thinking and think that only means bonded with those in our association or our neighborhood or our masjid. No, this is talking about the ummah as a whole. We're ummatu wahida. We're one ummah. We're ummatu islamiyya. We're the ummah of al-Islam. We're not to break into sects, to cause ourselves to break into sects, each sect rejoicing in its own tenet. No, we can have organizations. We can have different names, just like in your family. You have individual names. You might have the same last name. Well, these families today got a whole lot of last names sometimes. But we know coming up, you may have the same last name, but your individual identity was by your first name. But yet you are identified more with your family name, with your group name. So, yeah, we have individual organizations, individual ethnic groups, individual madhabs, individual this, individual that, but our identity should be our group identity, not this individual sectarian identity. That's one of the big problems. So, alhamdulillah, Allah says that's what he loves, that we fight in his way as in ranks like we were structures bonded. A structure, not structures, a structure bonded. He says, bunyanun, a structure ma'asusum bonded, a structure that is bonded. So, alhamdulillah, I went a little longer than I thought. You know how it is. You get a little wound up here. But now I'm going to take Sister Nisli, Sister DePrisa, and Sister Amira off of the host queue. So now they're right in with us. And we'd like you to now, Sister DePrisa and Amira, please share with us an overview or a summary of the work of Muslim Women in Action, especially for those callers that were not with us last week. And as a reminder, for those of us who were.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I am DePrisa Hadi from Flint, Michigan, and I am the president here with the co-founder, Amira Muhammad from Chicago, Illinois, who is the vice president. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to form Muslim Women in Action last year. Actually, it was in May of 2012, and we actually become, you know, getting out there a little bit more, starting with meetings and conference, online conference calls in August of 2012. MWIA is a nonprofit organization of Muslim women. We are organized on the principles of the Holy Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the tafsir of Imam Waqidi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's okay. Our mission for Muslim Women in Action is to, we encourage unity among Muslim women. We're not trying to separate or anything, we're just a Muslim Lima organization of women coming together. In our respect and service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has charged us with as women to do as a mission. So as doing that, we want to empower, inspire, educate, and help women and children. And in difficult life situations, we want to be able to help them with emergency assistance. We encourage unity, love, and respect throughout the Ummah. We promote the importance of good mental, physical, and spiritual health, along with relationship intelligence, the prevention of domestic violence, and to address issues that impede the development of a healthy Islamic community life. Imam Waqidi Muhammad encouraged us that was a thing we really needed to do, is develop healthy Islamic community lives here in America as well as abroad. We seek to advance a positive image and character of Islam in the growth of a healthy Islamic communities and healthy America at large. We envision our vision, hopefully, we envision the Muslim Women in Action organization to cover the globe of Muslim women coming together in the common cause of educating, inspiring, and empowering one another, as well as the world in which we encounter, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his bountiful favors. We have a goal to obtain our 501c3 tax-exempt status and build an MWIA organization with a membership fee and donation which supports our growth of improving conditions for humanity. Sure, we are working for the women, but as a whole, we do want to serve humanity. We are striving together in faith and righteousness as a solid cemented structure to build a better future for generations to come. We encourage all Muslim women to become an MWIA member and to start a chapter, inshallah, in your area. You can reach us, DePrisa Hadi, Flint, Michigan, 810-789-8022. and Amira Muhammad, Chicago, Illinois, 773-449-8104. Or correspondence and donations to Muslim Women in Action, P.O. Box 310-183, Flint, Michigan. Thank you, Connie. Amira has some, I know Amira has been experiencing some illness, and she had a really heavy weekend this week. She was given the Hadi Award this week, and it's just been real busy. But at this moment in time, she has something sad I'd like to turn over to her. Thank you, Imam Ramadan, and forgive me for not thanking you for having us on.
Alhamdulillah. You thanked me so much in the past. But, Sister Preetha, I don't know if you had given the zip code along with that address after Flint, Michigan.
Yes, sir. Flint, Michigan, 48531.
485. I have a sheet that says 48505 for the post office box.
Oh,
is
no, sir. 485, yes, error. 48531.
31. Thank you.
And thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Alhamdulillah, you're welcome. Sister Amir, I know that you've been under the weather. You had a busy weekend vending at the annual Savers Day event there in Chicago, as well as receiving the Hadi, the Iron Award, for one of the recipients for that award for community service. So if you would like to say a few words, we don't want to tax your voice too much, but if you'd like to say a few words, please do so.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but the name of Allah, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful, redeemer. Thank you very much, Brother Khalifa Ramadan, for having us on the show. We appreciate that. And I just wanted to expound a little bit more on what the Muslim and Women in Action is about. We simply say Muslim Women in Action, and it basically means taking action to address the issues and concerns of the community, our Muslim community as well as the outer community. What we know, what we believe to be the truth, is that resolution and solutions come from our Quran, come from the Sunnah of the Prophet, and come from the Tafsir of the Imam Warsi Muhammad. That's what we.
Sister Mary, are you still there? Your mic is still live. Your voice is breaking up. Perhaps you might want to hang up and try to call back in with a better connection. And what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, inshallah, we'll bring her right back into the host queue, and then also we'll bring on our good brother from in Wilmington, Delaware, Brother Abdul Hakim Abdullah.
Oh, hey, assalamu alaikum, sis. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
Good. And how's your husband?
Alhamdulillah, he's doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, sis. I'm just working two jobs right now trying to save up some money so I can go study at one of these Islamic universities.
MashaAllah. Well, it's interesting you say that. My husband and I just started the Islamic Online University.
What's that about?
Well, the Islamic Online University was developed by Dr. Bilal Phillips. It's completely online. It's intensive. He offers undergraduate and graduate courses of Islamic studies, and it's completely tuition-free.
Whoa, you said tuition-free?
Tuition-free.
In 2007, Islamic Online University began offering diploma courses. In 2010, the Islamic Online University launched the world's first tuition-free online Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies. This pathbreaking initiative utilizes the worldwide presence of the Internet and advanced open-source online learning technology to bring low-cost, university-level Islamic education within reach of anyone on the planet who has access to a computer. Please do not waste this opportunity. Go to www.islamiconlineuniversity.com, or you may also contact the registrar's office at 974-448-6858. 974-448-6858.
Welcome back. This is your brother Khalifa Ramadan with another edition of Implementing the Quran on American Muslim 360 Blog Talk Radio, the premier blog talk radio program focusing Muslims, Islam, and solutions to Islamic issues and issues that have impacted the community and the world at large. Sister Mir, we have you back in queue, so if you could continue with what you were sharing before the break.
Okay, thank you very much. I just wanted to say a little bit more on the work of Muslim Women in Action. It doesn't just simply mean serving women, it's serving humanity at large.
Sister Amir, your phone is still not getting a good connection. connection. I know there was some weather in Chicago and maybe between Chicago and where this call originates. It just may be a bad connection because it's coming through very scattered and the signal is breaking up.
That's not working.
Sister the Priestess, if you want to add anything to maybe what you may think that Sister Mary was going to mention because her phone is just not getting a good connection tonight.
Yes, sir. I believe that Mira is saying that we just wanted to say that Muslim Women in Action, we wanted to address, you know, these issues that are taking place in our community that have not, everybody see taboo is to bring them to the table. And so, and we also was looking at beginning a Muslim Men in Action. So that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that we can come together and mutually consultate with these issues and, you know, bring a resolution to these issues. I'm believing pretty much that's what she was wanting to say.
Thank you. And I think that's a good cue to bring on our brother Abdul Hakim, calling in from Wilmington, Delaware. Brother Abdul Hakim, are you with us? Okay, you should be in the queue now, Brother Abdul Hakim. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I wanted to say assalamu alaikum to the Muslim sisters who have started that soon to be flourishing program, inshallah. I've had some conversation with them since I heard them on your program last week, and I think we're going to be working very closely together, inshallah. But nevertheless, I want to say alhamdulillah. Thank Allah for the work that you are doing, Brother Imam, and I appreciate you having me on your show tonight.
Alhamdulillah. Well, let us go. We're going to open up the lines, which will include those of you that are the invited guests on the panel. So we're going to open up the lines. If anyone wants to respond, they can hit 1 on their dial pad, and that will bring you into the host queue. I'm going to restate the question, not the ayahs, but just restate the question that we want to consider tonight. And one is, why do the strong and faithful Muslims sometimes experience hardship and calamities? What is the responsibility of the faithful Muslim to support each other? How do the faithful Muslim resolve problems among other faithful Muslims? And how does Allah love to see the faithful Muslims? So we know what Allah has said, so we don't want to repeat that. What we want to do is give some examples for any of these questions that any one of our listeners, our panelists, or the listeners that you yourself have implemented or experienced to resolve problems of disunity, problems of fighting, problems of people facing serious hardships and calamities. What are some of the models? What are some of the things that we have seen Muslims do in our local communities or in our region, et cetera, that have resolved those problems? Brother Abdul Hakim, would you like to take a first response to this?
Yes, I'll just go ahead and we'll take it from the top, inshallah. That first question, why do the faithful Muslims still experience from time to time hardship and calamity? And I'm going to use myself as the best example, and I think once I get my answer, some of the other brothers and sisters on the call might be able to identify with that. Mostly it's because of what we have wrought with our own hands. Is because we do not implement fully what Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has shown through His hadith or has said in His hadith. We don't implement these things fully. And the commandments of Allah are certain and true. What the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given us is certain and true. So when we fall short of those measures on any account, we're going to be hit with hardship and calamities as a, not as so much as a punishment, perhaps, but also it comes in a way, actually a lost favor, so that we might recognize, we might have personal reflection on our own shortcomings. And most of the time, and this is also mentioned in the Quran, most of the time when we do have problems and hardship, it's something because we've wrought with our own hands.
Thank you. Something that's excellent, alhamdulillah. Sister the Priestess, did you want to add to those comments?
Yes, sir. And I want to agree with the brother Most times it is because due to something that our own hands have wrought. And also to when we Allah has given us vision to see where we may can make things better, make relationships better. It shows us where as individuals when we have in these hardships and calamity that when we see a need for things, problems to be dealt with or situations to be looked at more closely, that it gives us the courage to stand up and address these issues or these situations the hardship and the calamity, because it's not only on our own self, but we're looking at it in the community. We a lot of us brothers and sisters, or sisters and brothers, are experiencing calamities, and they don't really understand why. So this is an opportunity for those of us that do see, by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to stand up and help these brothers and sisters, or sisters and brothers, to address these concerns.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Sister Mira. I don't know. I know you're still with us. Let's hear maybe how your phone is doing now. Can you do you want to comment on this question?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Mm-mm.
No, it's still breaking up. So it's probably a weather pattern somewhere between Chicago and where you're calling from. We do have another one of our listeners that we, in fact, I recognize his number. I'm going to bring him into the host queue. Okay, area code 228, state your name and where you're calling from.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Yahya Muhammad, Ocean Spring, Mississippi.
Wa alaykum salam.
I would just like to say, to the brothers and sisters, if we see a brother and a sister that are not getting along good, and we know what we can do to help, we don't have to consult such them all the time. We can just go, if it's a brother we know real good, we can go and tell him what he should do. And some of the sisters that know the sisters, they can tell them what they should do according to our way of life, instead of taking things to court and keeping it in there for years and weeks or months. And having to go by the Holy Quran, it'll settle the argument. If we are true believers, or trying to be true believers, or followers of Prophet Muhammad, and if we do that, I think it would help a long way. And get, if you know someone, you're close to them, just go tell them to try to do the right thing. And none of us are always right all the time. So maybe we can see things in that perspective and change our mind and be forgiven and forgive. And maybe things could get better, and we could do much better. Thank you. As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. I want to bring up, thank you, Brother Yahya, calling from I believe it's Ocean, is it Ocean City or Ocean Springs? I can't always get those two places. Ocean Springs, alhamdulillah. We thank Brother Yahya. I want to bring up something, and we do have another one in the host queue that we're going to bring on. I want to bring up something that oftentimes is not brought up, but I'm going to bring it up. At the passing of Imam Muhammad, rahimullah alayhi, Allah's mercy be on him, we witnessed something that was very uncomfortable. And what we witnessed was that the wife that the Imam had married in Georgia, there was an Islamic wedding, but it wasn't filed in a legal court system. And then the wife of his many years, Sister Shirley, they had a Islamic wedding as well as filed in the legal court system, and had never really divorced from the legal court system, although they hadn't lived together for years. So there was a dispute, as we know, after the janazah, or up during the janazah, right before the janazah and after janazah, and Khadija coming back from helping with burying her own brother in Atlanta, Georgia, got the news at that point that her husband, our Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, had passed. And when she got there, the house was locked. The doors were, the keys didn't work anymore. They changed the lock. And without getting into all the details, there was a big effort to try to get members in this association to intervene in that event, to not make it public, to not make it messy in the public. But what ends up happening, people were saying that's family business. You know, that, you know, when the prophet had problems with his wife, it's in the Quran. It became public business. It's in the Quran. It wasn't private. When they were conspiring against him, Allah exposed it in the Quran because this was the prophet. This was the leader.
That's right.
So this affected the whole Ummah, the spirit of the Ummah. And what you had end up happening is that there was a fouling in court for inheritance rights. And it's interesting that the same judge that was the judge during the probate court after the death of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Rahimullah, Allah's mercy be on him, was the same judge for this particular one. And you know what that judge said?
Hmm.
That judge said, you all go back. You got enough in your religion to solve this yourself.
That's right.
And when we didn't solve it, he made Shirley the executor of the state, but he gave Khadija inheritance rights. But even though bigamy is a crime in Illinois, this judge set a precedent by respecting Shirley as the wife to be the executor of the state, but also respecting Islamic law that the imam had a public marriage that was witnessed on videotape. I got a copy on videotape on YouTube, parts of it anyway, and so many people witnessed it. So she was the acknowledged wife that everybody knew, and so therefore the judge respected that. And it's a shame when we could have done the same thing and come up with the same solution from our religion to be fair and equitable to everybody, and it took a judge to help us do what our religion would have guided us to do in the first place. let me bring in another caller. I have someone calling in from area code 618. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Khalid Ramadan. This is Brother Danny. Calling from East St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
In our religion, justice is a requirement.
Yes, sir.
And I think, you know, all of our situations should be judged by the justice of the Quran. In Surah 4 and 3, justice is used in a human possibly behavior as an absolute. This is the type of justice that we basically follow in Surah 4, Ayah 3. Justice as a human, possibly behavior as an absolute. But in Surah 4, 129, justice is used with equal feelings, and only Allah can determine that type of justice. So I think, you know, we need to weigh all of our situations by the Quran, and we need to use justice as a standard barrier, because it's definitely a requirement.
Alhamdulillah.
I thought I'd just like to add that.
Well, I appreciate you adding that. And Allah uses two terms that oftentimes both get translated justice. In this ayah that we read, he used one term that is more equitable. You know, justice and equity kind of are synonyms in the Arabic language, the two terms Allah uses. So keep it in mind, sometimes when somebody is in the wrong, but then their behavior changes, sometimes we're not equitable. We still act like they're still in the wrong, and we never forgive them. We never overlook it. We always hold it against that person. That's not
That's
equitable.
Right. That's
so,
right.
You know, so they might have got justice in terms of what they did, but are we being equitable? Are we still holding to them something that they stopped doing a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have that balance of justice
right.
and equity. I got a lot of lines of hot still. Anybody, Dapreesa, Abdul Hakim, you want to make any more comments on that?
Were we still making this comments pertaining to question number one, or have we skipped over and moved to?
Or we can go to one of the other questions. Now let me say this: if anybody who's still in the host queue, for me to know that you want to stay in and have another comment, hit one and go off, and then hit one again and come back in. If you don't have another comment, just hit one to stay off. But if you have another comment, hit one and go off, and then hit one again and come back in. That way I'll know that you have another comment to share. Thank you.
You can respond
to any of the other questions, either in order or any one of them.
I'm going to tag along because one or two of the callers had actually made some comments that can be made reference to question number three, what the Muslims do when Muslims argue and fight with each other. And you made very close reference to that in the ayats you read out of the Quran. But my comment would be, you know, in that same sentence of justice, you know, the brother said that justice has to be absolute, and you said it has to be equitable. So how do we reach both points? You know, we have to make sure that we maintain the criteria that Allah has given us. Like the brother said, you know, if one of the brothers is arguing or a sister is arguing or members of the community are arguing, it creates fitna. So the whole community must be made aware of it. It should not be something that's done in secret. And I find sometimes today in our masjid, we have these things, and it's done in secret, and it should be done openly that the community can learn from it. And at the same time, talking about the justice being made equitable, at the same time, that should be made plain and open to the public. We don't do these things. We don't completely follow Allah's criterion as he gives us. And if we did that, then I think that justice and equality would come more swiftly.
One of the things that those brothers who have been entrusted with being in a role of imam, and they have the mic open on the Jummah day, very powerful time that can be either used for the right purpose or the wrong purpose, because that's a time when there's no question and answer. We're not even really supposed to say a whole lot or say anything. We should be quiet. We're in a state of prayer. The Jumu'ah takes the place of Zuhr. In Zuhr, there's four rak'ah. Mm-hmm. So in Jumu'ah, there's only two. So the two-part khutbah takes the place of two rak'ah. We don't talk in the rak'ah, so we shouldn't be talking in Jumu'ah. That's right, brother, man. Go ahead, teach. Allah. No, we should be quiet in there. You don't do that. You don't do that when you're doing the two rak'ah of Zuhr. But if Jumu'ah takes the place of those two rak'ah, we bring the church into the masjid. They call and respond.
That's right. That's
keep
right.
The church in the church. The masjid is something different. You want to go
that's
back
right.
there, put the call and response, no, go in with a good minister. You can do all the call and response you want. That's not for the Jummah. But the point I'm making is this, is the imam oftentimes hears a lot that goes on, and he's got to be very careful of that sacred trust because people will come to him about something that person says somebody is doing or has done. And if he doesn't go and ascertain the truth of that thing, and he uses that thing as a bully pulpit at the Jummah, he can really harm somebody in public. Because most of the time when you talk about a situation at the Jummah, in our small congregation, you don't have to mention the person's name. Most people know who you're talking about.
That's right. That's
the
right.
The room for the demand is already out there in the air. So one of the things we have to do, if we've been entrusted with that responsibility, to have a mic on when everybody else has to be quiet, then we must be sure to be equitable to make sure we get the other side of the story. I'm reminded of the situation in the Quran of Dawood, David, alayhi salam, the prophet Dawood, where the two brothers scaled over the wall and approached him. And one brother said, "My brother is unjust to me, because he has 99 of these animals left to us, and he only left me with one." And Dawood went to a quick judgment, and he made a statement in the Quran, it's not often that the men are just towards one another. But in looking into the deeply, initially, the split was 50-50. But the one brother didn't take care of the 50. And so one brother took over 75 and made it 75-25. And I might be wrong with the breakdown of the numbers, but the gist of the story is the same. And he didn't take care of the 25. And then eventually he left him with 10. He didn't take care of the 10. He left him with 5. He didn't take care of the 5. Then he left him with 1. He neglected the 1. So then the brother said, "Listen, I'll just take care of all 100. That was equity. Because he had to think about more than just his brother. He had to also think about the animals and the benefit the animals did to society.
That's right.
So so Dawood just based it on justice, didn't look just, but was equitable. Because you keep something, you take care of. If you don't take care of it, with your own hands, you might lose it. And so we have to be very careful. I don't care how persuasive, how much charisma, how much they ascertain something is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We never run with it until we investigate the other side.
That's
and
right.
Get
absolutely.
And we can bring them both together and have the one who bring the charge make the charge in front of the one he's charging or she's charging.
Yes, sir.
And
absolutely.
You get a picture on if they change the story once they have that person in front of them.
That's right.
So justice and equity have to go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Let me go to one last commercial break, and then inshallah we will be right back.
Do you remember Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad? Mosque Cares. Believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Mosque Cares, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Don't forget, Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad and Mosque Cares. They appreciate your support, and so do American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is...
Too legit. Too legit, but quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Alhamdulillah, we're back with another edition of Implementing the Quran on the topic tonight of solutions and problems. Our special guests this evening have been Abdul Hakim Abdullah, Sister Dapreesa Hadi, and Sister Amira Muhammad, who has been a little bit under the weather and then experiencing some problems with the connection. It may be due to some of the severe weather we've had over the last several days. One of the hot spots was Chicago. So that may be attributing to her problem with her microphone. We have just a few more minutes. The time just goes so quick. We have about 8 minutes. So I'd like Sister Dapreesa and Brother Abdul Hakim to make maybe another response to the questions we posed. And we have two other people in queue that we'd like to get them on just quickly before we transition off of the program for tonight. Dapreesa, would you like to go first?
What exactly, the other questions that you posed, I got up to number two, the responsibility of the faithful to support each other.
Yeah,
and to being truthful and like you were saying earlier, to be just and equitable. When we have these problems or situations that need to be addressed and you bring in both of the parties to the table and as you know, sometimes somebody don't want to come. And we have to keep working with them and make sure we can get each of them before each other and bring solution to these problems from the resources that we have, which is the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Tafsir of Imam Waruthi Muhammad. And we'll be able to have that balance that we need to be equitable in our justice.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Brother Duhakim.
Very briefly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, question number two, what is the responsibility of the faithful Muslims to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from my understanding, and, I think that my understanding, I like to make it in clear language, is that we should want for ourselves, want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves. That's plain and simple, because
Allah
does not make this this deen hard for us, and then you put it in plain language like that. If we love each other, if we love the words of Allah, and we love the Prophet Muhammad the way we should love him and everything that he brought us, then we should truly want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves. And in response to number four, how does Allah love to see the Muslims? I think we should often read from Surah 61, Ayahs 1 to 4. We should read that often.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just that Allah would love for us, to practice what we preach. You know, I like to put things in plain language. Just practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Abdul Hakim. I wish we had more time. Let me go to area code 601. Trying to bring you in the queue. 601, state your name and where you calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
this brother Daryl from Jackson, Mississippi. How's everyone doing this month? I just want to say that you were just saying something about, I really enjoyed the show tonight, but really what really popped in my mind when you were talking about the believers, when they do believers do them unjust and they say things and they don't ascertain the matter. Well, what can a believer do if he were put in a situation like this, if that did take place, what can he do to bring the situation back in hand to where he can maybe clear himself of whatever they are saying? About what can he do if you got enough time to comment on it? If you don't, I mean, Allah, wait.
Just real quickly, the obligation Allah puts on the faithful when two groups or two individuals fall into fighting dispute with each other, and one of them is the aggressor and does the wrong. Mm-hmm. Allah doesn't put the obligation on the one that was wrong. He puts the obligation on us who witnessed the wrong mm-hmm. to step in on that person's behalf.
That's right.
And we're supposed to make sure there's equity. So
right.
It's a big burden on the person who's been wronged to then, especially a lot of times the wrong is done by a machine. When I'm being a machine, an institution. He's an individual, but the institution has done wrong. He's kind of at a disadvantage. So those of us a part of that institution, we should make that institution do equity. And I'm saying it like that lightly, brother, because I know your circumstance and situation, so I'm not trying to, bring up too much of it, but I hope you get the point. That obligation is really on others of us who know the situation mm-hmm. to make sure the one who did the harm is equitable, get the justice, but also make sure it's done with being equitable. And like I mentioned, like sometimes somebody is cleared of something they're accused of, they're cleared of it, mm-hmm. and we don't put as much energy into making sure everybody knows that person is cleared
mm-hmm.
as we do in making sure we thought that person was guilty. You know, like the newspapers do that. They'll publish something in a paper front page. Then they find out and they have a retraction in small
That's right.
print on some back page.
Right.
You can't follow that pattern of work. If we published it, put it on the bulletin board, told other people about it, we got an obligation to publish the retraction, tell as many people about it as we told before, and tell them to tell who they told.
That's justice and equity. That's right.
Thank you, brother. You're welcome.
Pretty man, I really appreciate that.
Alhamdulillah. You know, we still have some one to get into the whole queue, but we just don't have time. Let me mention two things. One is that at 10:30 Eastern Time, one half an hour or so from now, there's another program coming on America's Muslim 360. It starts at 10:30 Eastern, so you would basically, log off or either hang up and then dial back in or log back in, and you'll be able to hear a program called Health Issues. Facilitated by Dr. Kevin Teal. So he deals with policies and regulations and research related to the medical field and our overall health and wellness. And then right after that program, I believe his program runs from 11:30, there's another program at 11:30 to 12 called Beauty Foods, facilitated by Dawn Ali. And Sister Dawn Ali focuses on food that help us stay physically beautiful, both internally and externally. So, alhamdulillah. And I also want to mention, as a part of this series, that we're going to have another program next week that's kind of on this same line. And our guest is going to be Sister Namet Marie. And she was the writer of a series in the Muslim Journal, I believe it was from 1999 to maybe 2008, almost 10 years or so, called Mother's Wit. You might remember that column, Mother's Wit.
I remember that, yes, sir.
She'll be our guest next week. And she has written a book, Inside the Heart and Mind of a Muslim American Woman. The Heart and Mind of a Muslim American Woman. And next week she's going to be focusing on one specific chapter. I don't know the number of the chapter, but it's Breaking Through the Obstacles of the Mind. Breaking Through the Obstacles of the Mind. She doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to try to get her to come on maybe once a month so she can preview other chapters of this very noteworthy. So we're right at the end of our program. I'm going to give our invited guest, Abdul Hakim and Sister Dupreta, a chance to make closing comments, and then we'll have to sign off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. I just want to say, encourage all of the Muslims, sisters, to become members of the MWIA organization, and all of the brothers to support us. And if you want to contact us, you can reach me, myself, Dupreta Hadi, 810-789-8022, or Amira Muhammad, 773-449-8104. Or again, you can reach us at Muslim Women in Action, P.O. Box 310-183, Flint, Michigan 48531. We look forward to getting more chapters throughout this United States, and we're looking for the support of the brothers as well. Thank you so kindly, Imam Ramadan, for having us on again.
Alhamdulillah, you're so welcome. And Brother Abdul Hakim?
Very quickly, I wanted to say to the sisters in Chicago and Flint that my wife looks forward to starting a chapter of Muslim Women in Action right here in Wilmington. It will be a first. I look forward in supporting her in that and supporting you all in your endeavors and starting a comparison program with the brothers, inshallah. And Brother Imam Ramadan, once again, thank you very much, and I look forward to working with you on the prison reentry program that I'm trying to institute here in Wilmington with the help of Allah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. In fact, prison reentry is going to be one of the topics coming up in the very near future, inshallah. So we thank you all, and again, we remind you to tune back in, call back in, or log back in at 10:30 for Dr. Kevin Teal and Health Issues, followed by Dawn Ali with Beauty Foods. And we close with our theme song here of American Muslim 360.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
No, you can't touch the Quran unless you're pure. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.